What sort of relationship do the Gospels portray between God and Jesus? It's not the relationship of a creator to a creature. Rather, it's the relationship of a father to a son. And this comes out very strongly in the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and particularly when Jesus addresses God, Abba, Father. And I noticed, following the Good News translation, that it's altered the word. But if you go to an older translation, Jesus addresses God as Abba, Father. And the word Abba is a very affectionate and intimate way of addressing a father. And so a Jewish boy then and now would address his human father as Abba. And so we can imagine the young boy Jesus, when he wanted to attract the attention of his father Joseph, calling out to him, Abba. And so this word denotes an intimate relationship between a child and his father. In English, it's the equivalent of a child calling his father Dad or Daddy. When Mary and Joseph lost track of Jesus when Jesus was 12 years old and they'd gone to the temple in Jerusalem, they had to come back to Jerusalem searching for their 12-year-old son. And when they found him, Jesus said to them, "Did you not know I was bound to be in my Father's house?" We notice that Jesus does not call the temple in Jerusalem God's house, but rather my Father's house. And think of Jesus' last words on the cross. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." In the Gospels, this word Father is used 150 times. In the Gospels, Jesus shows us what God is like, and he also shows us what God feels about his children. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, what we particularly see is this intimate communion between God and his son Jesus. We see that God is approachable. We wouldn't speak to someone in a trusting way if we didn't feel they were going to listen or understand or care. But when we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus approaching God as someone who is trustworthy, someone who will listen and understand and care. And also, we see that God is not only approachable, but he's also personal. Jesus approaches him just like a child would approach his own human father, or a close relative, or a close friend. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see a God who is approachable, who is caring, and who is personal. Plato, a long time ago, said that we could know very little about God. But Jesus shows us a God who's approachable, personal, and caring. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says that all those people who are moved by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And so the Spirit enables people who are filled with the Spirit to address God as Jesus addressed God. In other words, addressing him as Abba, Father. And so, just as Jesus had that intimate communion with God, so we too, moved by God's Spirit, can have an intimate communion with God. But we mustn't confuse intimacy with God with some sort of soppy sentimentality. In the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, Jesus and God are very intimate. But also God requires from Jesus obedience. Jesus prays to God and he says, "Take this cup away from me." Jesus doesn't want to suffer and die on the cross. But at the end of Jesus' prayer, he says, "Not what I will, but what thou wilt." In other words, Jesus accepts that he needs to obey his heavenly Father. And think of the Lord's Prayer. We begin by saying, "Our Father in heaven." We begin the Lord's Prayer in a very intimate way. But later on in the prayer, we say, "Thy will be done." In other words, we are praying that God's will be done in our lives. Obedience is sometimes easy, and sometimes it's difficult. Imagine a human father giving his son £2 and telling him to go and buy an ice cream. Well, the son will find that sort of obedience very easy. But imagine a human father saying to his young son that it's his bedtime. He's got to go up to bed just before his favourite television programme comes on. Well, obeying in those circumstances will be difficult. And it must have been the same with Jesus. When God called him to heal someone who was ill, well, surely Jesus did that with joy, and it was something very easy to do. But when God calls upon Jesus to suffer and die on the cross, well, obedience in that case must have been very difficult and hard. Soren Kierkegaard once said, "It's so hard to believe because it's so hard to obey." There's a side of the gospel which we like and which appeals to us. Are we anxious? God will give us peace. Are we lost? God will give us direction. Are we sick? God will give us healing. Now that's an important side of the gospel. But there's another side to the gospel. And that's when God calls us to give his obedient service. Jesus once said, "Whoever cares for his own safety will be lost, but whoever is willing to let himself be lost for my sake and for the gospel, that man will be safe." And of course, what we do find is that when we are prepared to serve Jesus and to obey Jesus, that in serving God and others, we find joy and fulfillment. In service, God will bless us. But that doesn't mean to say that service and obedience comes easily. It certainly didn't come easily to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't want to suffer and die on the cross. In the same way, we don't always find it easy to give our time and our money, our help and our loving service to other people, especially strangers or enemies or people that we don't get on with. And so, how can we obey God when such obedience is difficult, when it involves costly service? Well, surely the only answer is that it's God's strength that helps us to obey him. My first ministry was at the Vine United Reformed Church in Ilford, and we had connections with a couple of medical missionaries, John and Johan Gladstone, who worked among the Toposa tribe in Sudan. And John and Johan sent us letters, and in those letters we realised some of the difficulties that they faced. They had a foreign language to contend with. The temperatures were very hot. Sometimes there was famine and malnutrition. They also had to cope with some dishonest medical workers. And their own state of health was very variable. How did John and Joanne continue with their medical missionary work among that tribe? It was surely only because they believed in the truth of the gospel and God strengthened them to do that work. In our country today, we have a lot of churches, sadly, with only a few people in the congregation. And we have junior churches and Sunday schools where there are only a few children. And yet, those churches continue, and those Sunday schools and junior churches continue. And it's surely because the people believe in the truth of the gospel and find strength in God for their work. A well-known minister in Glasgow, who'd been a minister for many years, was once asked how he was able to carry on. And he replied, "In this job, you do not carry on, you are carried on." And it was a saying for Jesus. He was carried on through the grief and the doubts of the Garden of Gethsemane and through the suffering and the cross to the glory of the resurrection. God strengthened Jesus to go forward, to carry on to the cross. And so God will also strengthen us in our obedience to him and in our Christian life and service. The Gospels show us the relationship between Jesus and God, the relationship of a son to his father. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that this relationship is marked by intimacy, obedience, and strength. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says that Jesus is the eldest among a family of brothers. In other words, we are all sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. And so through Christ, we too can have an intimate relationship with God. And that same God will call us to obey him, and he will give us the strength to live up to our calling. Amen.